Zondervan presents Sins of the Fathers by James Scott Bell, read by Buck Scherner. For Nate. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Lamentations 5:7, King James Version. Everybody's got their dues in life to pay. Steven Tyler, Dream On. Prologue. Ollie M. Jones would be the first one the cops would talk to. The fact that he was spattered with blood no doubt had something to do with it. His white jersey with the blue royals across the front was a canvas of dappled red, certain to catch the attention of the responding police officers. But Ollie would look back on it and know it wasn't the blood that nabbed the gaze of the young LAPD badge, the one with the dark eyes and bull shoulders. It was the screams that did it. 10 minutes after it happened, Ollie was still screaming, unable to keep the horror silent. Tara Lundgren thought she heard the sound of several metal bats making contact with several balls simultaneously. That's the way she described it to the reporters from the three local news stations, plus the CNN guy. "I was standing right here," Tara indicated with her arm, one of the park's four baseball diamonds, the one in the northeast corner. "Watching my son's game when I heard the shots. Like I said, it sounded like bats hitting balls. But then I thought to myself it didn't really, because a ball hitting these aluminum bats goes ping, and this sound was more like whap. Then I heard the screams, and I turned around like this." Tara did a 45-degree pivot. "And I saw the people running. And I thought, no, it couldn't be happening. It has to be a joke. But it wasn't. Dear God, it wasn't." At the hospital, Robert Landis blocked the homicide detective's path. "Sir," the detective said, "the doctor says it's all right." "I don't care what the doctor says. You can talk to him tomorrow if he's able, if he wants to. Or you can..." "Sir, listen to me. I understand completely."
"Do you?"
"I do, sir, I do. I have two boys of my own."
"He shot my son in the chest while he was playing baseball. What kind of a sick... Why don't you just shoot him?"
"Sir, if you'll let me talk to your boy, we can put together a case. We can make sure this guy gets put away."
"No," Robert Landis said. "Kill him. You have to kill him. You have to make sure of that."
"If you'll let me see your boy now..." Robert Landis erupted in tears.
"How many? As of now?"
"Yes,
six."
"Six." Syl Martindale's breath left her, turning her chest into a vice.
"Six kids dead."
"Five boys," Risa Birkin swallowed, hard. "One adult."
Why?
Risa placed a hand on her friend's arm.
"That's beyond us. I can't understand it, I can't. I just have to look to God, to God."
Syl sat straight up, jostling the coffee cup on the kitchen table.
"What are you talking about? My best friend just watched her only child die in the dirt in front of her."
Chamberlain Mills, vice president of KNX News Radio, 1070 AM, delivered his nightly editorial the following evening. "And now the scourge of violence has come not to another school campus, but to a public park, a place once thought safe in the daytime, a place where families could picnic or watch baseball games under blue Southern California skies. That dream is now shattered. What is our answer? We must start with a deeper understanding of the cause of all this violence. How, we must ask, can a 13-year-old boy murder six people in cold blood? And what are we to do with mass murderers who have not even reached puberty? These are deep and troubling questions for our society. We must seek understanding above all else. Only then do we have a realistic hope for a solution."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?